rebel force has penetrated the shield and landed on Endor.
This is where the fun begins.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Star Wars number one.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Now it's time for Rebel Force Radio.
We would be honored if you would join us.
What the heck? And I crank up my iPhone on my way into work, on my morning commute, ready to listen to some Rebel Force Radio, and I'm not there. some hillbilly from Georgia.
Imposter.
In my chair.
Don't call him a hillbilly.
That's what we call him here in Ohio.
Oh, my Lanta.
Oh, my Lanta. No. Very, very honored to have had the great Steve Glosson in the chair here, filling the shoes, although my shoes look a little stretched out while I was away.
Don't look at your underpants.
No, it was actually wonderful. I was telling Jim earlier that it was really fun for me to be able to listen to an episode of Rebel Force Radio, but, you know, experience it like you. Because, you know, like George said to Oprah, I've never really had a Star Wars. Never got to really experience it. I just made billions and billions of dollars. Don't you feel bad for me? No, but like George, I've never been able to really experience, you know, Rebel Force Radio or the other show he did, really, because generally I was involved, so I didn't get experience the same way. So this was really cool, and you guys were awesome and brought all of the news, Jim. But Misa back!
Well, we're happy to have you back, Jason, and this is a great week for you to be back because there is so much happening in Star Wars news.
So much news!
It's off the charts.
We could do a whole podcast this week. Let's do that. By the way, introductions in order in case you're new to the program. I am the... well, if you're new to the show last week, you're going to be like, well, where's Steve? You're going to be so disappointed. Like, this show rocks. I love the chemistry between these two guys, and then they got me. But anyway, my name is Jason. With me, my good friend and yours from Chicago, Mr. Jimmy Mack.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Star Wars fans. No, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining for a lack of chemistry going on here at Rebel Force Radio this week.
All those Geek Out Loud podcast fans are going to be writing us.
Where's Steve? Bring him back.
The show is just not the same without
Steve. It's not. You guys have changed. Well, yeah, literally. but no, it is good to have you back. You were out in New York last week, and
I was
a VIP star-studded week of theater.
Yes, I was out for the annual Broadway League conference. This is my first year, and it was star-studded. Tom Hanks was there. He's starring in a Broadway play by Nora Ephron called Lucky Guy, and he walked across the street to meet with us. Also, David Hyde Pierce, you probably remember him from as Niles from Frasier. He was there. He's doing a play with Sigourney Weaver, and Sigourney showed up, and that was really cool. And you know, the thing is, I'm sitting there, and everybody else is like, "Oh, Sigourney Weaver," and I'm like, "Oh my God, it's Ripley, Ripley."
Exactly.
You know, thinking Ghostbusters. I'm thinking all kinds of, you know, everyone else in there is thinking Gorillas of the Mist. And, you know, whatever other, you know, serious film that she's made. But I'm like, oh, man, she can kick some alien ass.
You know, yeah, I'm glad you're bringing some pop culture to the culture crowd.
Well, they need a little bit. They need a little bit of that there at the Broadway League conference. Let's see. Who else? Cyndi Lauper was there. And Jim, one of your all-time favorites, Harvey Fierstein there.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone move up close. I got a lot to talk about here. We got a lot of good shows coming up. We got Cyndi Lauper here. Thank you, Harvey. All right, sit down, girl.
You know what? They could have skipped both of them. Just had you do the whole thing. Just Jimmy Mack.
Well, here's what it sounds like when you have Harvey and Cyndi behind closed doors. It goes a little something like this.
Is that what I was hearing?
But
we'll say this, you know, when when we saw in the Clone Wars all the different huts, they really missed one. They could have made Harvey the Hutt.
Harvey
is just screaming. I could see him being a perhaps a companion to Zero. Hmm. We'll just leave it at that.
There could be future opportunities for a character like that to invade the Star Wars universe.
A really, really fun time, although I missed my wars. I was looking for a Star Wars connection, and the only thing I could find is, Toys R Us in Times Square, and I got to tell you, there's nothing better happening at the Toys R Us in Times Square than's happening at the Toys R Us here in Canton, Ohio, or in Chicago. Very little on the pegs. Very little on the pegs, even in one of the biggest Toys R Us's in the country.
Sure, yeah. Searching for Star Wars figures has become something of an odyssey. Obviously, there is serious restraint being practiced by Hasbro these days as they wind down one era and wind up for another era. And I'm quite certain that the vibrant and sometimes hectic world of Star Wars action figure collecting will kick back into high gear probably sometime next year, because I think there's going to be some new material on the horizon for Hasbro to tap into.
Well, you got to think, right? If the film's coming out in May 15 or summer 15, and you've got the we'll talk about it, the big news, the confirmation of the new animated series. You got that in the fall of 2014. We got to be seeing some new figs here.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine come Toy Fair in February of 2014, we should be seeing some sneak preview stuff, perhaps, maybe, at least of the animated series, I would hope.
Yeah. How exciting was it back in the day, late 98, when we were seeing our first glimpses of Star Wars prequel characters via the sneak peeks? Yeah, the Stapp came out. Mace Windu was a special mail-away. And there were a few others. I think.
So I don't think they ever topped themselves on the Mace Windu figure front than that first sneak peek fig. What I loved about it was that it had that standard Star Wars figure articulation. Right, you didn't have the 16, 20 points of articulation.
Right. It was just your 5 points.
Right, but it felt so familiar yet so fresh. That is a very distinct memory, holding that figure in my hand for the first time.
Oh, so, you know, those are fun things. Those, you know, history, yes. History repeats itself, right. As we're Star Wars fans. It doesn't matter how old we're getting, you know. The older we get, typically we get more disposable income. So bring it on, Hasbro. Let's see those awesome Star Wars action figures, and let's relive those glory days of the late 90s when we were seeing those preview figures of new prequel characters. Hey, let's take it even further back. Boba Fett, 1979. Remember sitting there waiting for the mailbox to fill up with your 20 Boba Fett figures you ordered, and they all come in that little white box, and sure enough, the rocket wouldn't shoot out the back. Jason, I know that you can't really connect with those memories because, you must have been 2 years old at the time.
Wait a minute now. Okay, all right. But you know what? That was the rocket-firing Boba Fett. I don't think you had to have been necessarily I was conscious, at least, but that was one of those things that you just kind of grew up knowing about.
Yes.
I don't remember anybody ever telling me about the rocket firing Boba Fett. It was just like by osmosis.
Right.
But I had an older brother who was waiting by the mailbox for those. I can tell you that.
Yeah. The legends of childhood, you know, the things that you just learn as fact as you're growing up, you know. And
I think there might have been a stray card back laying around the house that might have had the original advertisement on there for that, on the sticker. Uh-huh. That I probably saw as a kid, but
and then started chewing on it.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know what, I have a memory of an old Ben Kenobi figure that had one toe like 1 foot bit off by our Cocker Spaniel. And we never got another Obi-Wan. I have it to this day. Yeah. The Obi-Wan Kenobi figure with the we'll have to ask the toy hunter what that's worth. I think I'll send a picture to Steve Sansweet for his next column. Hey, Steve, give me a price quote on this.
I know I still have an X-Wing pilot that has bite marks from my Labrador Retriever. Mm-hmm. I know I still have that. But my dog was very fond of Yoda and Han Hoth. I remember I couldn't buy enough of those things before the dog would be chewing it up.
God, Yoda, they could swallow, you know?
Yeah,
Yoda
was
dangerous, very little. Let's just say
I saw Yoda make the complete journey once.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about frozen in carbonite.
I'd rather be frozen in carbonite than when Yoda was frozen.
Smelled bad on the outside. Oh, well, anyway, here's the thing. We're going down memory lane, but there was a Chewie, and I want to say that we're talking Return of the Jedi carded Chewie. His arms and legs turned green on me. Did that ever happen to one of your Chewies?
No, but I've heard of this phenomenon occurring. What's up with that?
I don't know, because I had cousins who, you know, had a Chewie, and his arms and legs never turned green. But my Chewie, just the arms and the legs, you know, different type of plastic. You know, they were a little bit more rubbery than the harder, you know, body, you know, torso and head. But the arms and legs, yeah, turned green on me.
Green Chewie arms and legs on the next Maury Povich. But that's pretty interesting. So if anyone out there in our listening audience actually has a photo of a vintage Chewie figure with green arms and legs, send it to us and we'll put it up on Facebook.
Yeah, mine had something to do with the fact that he was buried in my backyard for a year. But who knows?
I wish you still had that figure. I'm dying to see it now.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right. So what they were saying is true.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view. Well, we've got it. Here's the answer to the riddle. Since the day that they announced that the Clone Wars was winding down, I believe that was the term that was used, there was the promise of a new animated TV series, and then the rumor started to heat up. We had Dave Filoni pretty much confirm that he was involved in another animated series. We had the letters going out from Kathleen Kennedy to the participants in the Save the Clone Wars letter writing campaign that there would be a new Star Wars animated television series set in a time period yet unexplored by Star Wars television or film. And we got the answer that it is going to take the form of Star Wars Rebels, a brand new animated TV series, executive produced by Dave Filoni himself. World premiere scheduled for 2014 on the Disney Channel. The series itself will then take place on or be broadcast on Disney XD. So here it is, Jim. We got the official word, the official announcement that Rebel Force Radio will soon be home to the Star Wars Rebels Roundtable.
the Rebels Roundtable.
Rebel Force Radio Rebels Roundtable. I like the use of the word Rebels, though. That's certainly going to help us.
Rebels. Well, yeah, a lot of people have written us saying, coincidence? I don't think so. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, I actually think it's highly coincidental. Actually, I don't think that we can really, stick the old flag in the term rebel. but it's nice that people think of us. That's very kind.
Yes. So, of course, you know, we plan on giving it the old roundtable treatment once it is released. Fall 2014, kicking it all off with a one-hour special, and that'll be on Disney Channel. And then, as you reported, Jason, it will be followed by the series on Disney XD channels. So it's pretty exciting. You have some real heavyweights here working on this. Simon Kinberg, who also is a consultant on the Star Wars theatrical films, the sequel trilogy, and I believe he's working on a standalone film himself.
Yeah, can I stop you here? Because I just want to throw out my theory on Kinberg.
Okay.
Because when I was watching the video at StarWars.com, and Dave was just like, he could hardly believe that he was talking about Simon Kinberg being involved. And here's my theory, because we know that Rebels takes place between episodes 3 and 4. We know that it will cover the purge, the Jedi purge, as well as the beginnings of the rebellion. And I just don't see how they can do this without Vader. And there's theory and there's talk that Ken Berg's spinoff or his standalone is a Vader story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just my half-baked theory is that that's why Ken Berg is involved. Not that he's not qualified. He's certainly qualified, but that there might be another connection there that this series might kind of roll into the standalone Vader project. Just like I say, just throwing it out there as a, mm-hmm. as a crackpot theory.
Well, I like it a lot. And I like the idea of continuity being that much under control. And I know Star Wars fans in general will be relieved by that because continuity, of course, is a big sticking point with a lot of us hardcore fans. Greg Weissman is also another executive producer on this series.
Really excited about that. A big, big fan of Gargoyles from back in the day. Jim, I don't, that was probably, yeah, that was too late for you, but I don't, did you ever catch any episodes of that?
No, me and Kyle were just talking about this on the phone today, and I know he is a fan of Gargoyles, but yeah, you're right. That is just right outside the realm of my kid television watching career.
Yeah, because it was between you watching kids shows and your kids watching kids shows.
Essentially, yeah.
Right. So you kind of missed that 90s heyday.
I did.
Of stuff that was happening on, you know, with Disney, DuckTales, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Gargoyles, and then, of course, Batman Animated Series on the Fox side, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons. You missed a lot of that
stuff. Yeah, I did. The only thing that I can say I watched with any regularity that I watched at all is the Batman Animated Series, just because I love Batman. But
now, you had a buddy that would tape that for you, right?
My brother. Bill. Okay. Bill would tape that. And so I would call him from work, and I would say, you know what, I'm running late. Can you please pop into videotape and record Batman, the Animated Series for me? And I'd have coworkers overhearing this conversation. And, you know, couldn't really live that one down.
I love it.
As a young man trying to establish myself in the professional realm, I wasn't really saying it loud and saying it proud back then. Although I wasn't holding back, it just wasn't something that I wore on my sleeve like I do nowadays. Nowadays, I constantly wear things like Star Wars t-shirts and stuff because people expect me to do that. But back then, people were just discovering the essence of what makes Jimmy Mac Jimmy Mac.
And you yourself, Jim, were discovering.
Well, that. A little bit, you know. I mean, you want to fit in when you're starting off a career. I had an intern coming in the dead of January. You know, if you live in the Chicago area in January, you know that the weather is frigid cold, freezing, tons of snow. And this guy was showing up wearing a t-shirt and shorts every day to work. And I said, listen, pal, I would say something to you in July if you showed up wearing a parka. You show up in January wearing a t-shirt and shorts. What's the matter with you? You need to try to fit in. He's like, well, I'm trying to establish myself as something outside the box. I said, good luck getting a job. Nobody wants outside the box. You have to establish yourself. So once I was able to really fully establish myself and plant my flag in the radio industry, which is where I, you know, decided to build a career, then I was like fully out and open about my fandom. I think nowadays it's a different thing, though. Back in the early 90s, Star Wars fandom was on the down low. Even comic book shops weren't like everywhere.
Yeah, but we were talking
like
about Batman.
Now.
You were ashamed of Batman a little bit.
Well, I wasn't ashamed of Batman. It was just the fact that people overheard me going out of my way to record an after-school kids show, a cartoon.
And that was a cartoon as opposed to an animated series. No, it was really an animated series.
Well, they called it Batman the Animated Series.
Right, they did. But, I mean, it didn't – animation was not viewed the same back then as it is now. You know, you didn't have Oscars for animated films back then. Now you do. But, you know, what's funny is that we had a discussion. You know, I agree with you that you have to – I'm not saying that you hide your fandom. I would never suggest that. But what I would say is if you're a young person starting out in a career, you don't want to be labeled kind of with that in that you're a one-trick pony. And I'll tell you why. Because this haunts me to this day. In New York, I'm sitting at dinner with a friend. And the subject of tattoos came up. She asked me if I had any tattoos. I said, of course not. Do I look like the kind, you know, no offense, Jimmy Mac has a tattoo. People I love have tattoos. But I do not look like the kind of guy that would have a tattoo. I said, no, I don't have a tattoo. She goes, well, would you ever get your kids' names or your wife's name on a tattoo? I said, you know what? There's really nothing that I love so much that I would have it tattooed on my body. This is what she says. I just disqualified my wife and children from this list. She looks at me. She goes, well, Star Wars.
And?
The implication is that I love Star Wars more than my children and my wife.
Hey, listen, you catch me on the right day. You never know which way I'll
be. The wife, right? But the kids, but I guess my point in that is, Jim, you know how people can just run with that, right? Where it's like that defines you mm-hmm. to such an extent that they don't think you have anything else going on, right? Right.
You become the guy.
The guy, right.
He's the Star Wars guy. And that's a badge of honor that I wear as someone who has established myself in my career. If you're a young guy starting out, you know, those might be certain things you would want to avoid as you're trying to move right. ahead in whatever professional realm you want to move ahead in. Uh-huh. But I still say it loud and say it proud, and don't let anyone take your fandom away from you.
Oh, definitely not. No, not saying hide it. Just saying use some restraint.
Yeah.
Unless you're that guy that showed up to the job interview decked out as a stormtrooper. Remember him?
Yeah, you know, there's always stories like that. Right. And, you know, sure, like I said, it's outside the box and everything, and your potential employer might always remember that until the day he dies. But will you get the job? Probably not. So, but still, like I said, say it loud, say it proud. We got new Star Wars animated series, Star Wars Rebels, on the horizon. So there's a lot to look forward to. I hope that this does a lot of healing for Star Wars fans who were hurt by the postponements of Star Wars 3D, the cancelization. I made up a word, too, by the way. I don't know if anyone picked up on this.
I think that what they did was cancelize it.
Cancelization. I don't think that is that a word? Nobody has called me out on it yet.
To cancelize is not a word.
The cancelization.
Cancellation.
Of the Clone Wars animation. Right.
Will lead to the domination.
But here we go. We're
the registration.
The restoration. So we're coming up with a whole new language here because we're so excited about Star Wars Rebels. I mean, we've just invented a whole new language.
This is amazing. I mean, to read this in an official press release from Lucasfilm that the action-filled series is set between the events of Episode 3 and 4, an era spanning almost two decades, never before explored on screen. If you don't count, Unleashed.
Not necessarily on screen.
Oh, that was on my screen.
Well,
Sam Witwer is sitting there right there on my screen as Starkiller between episodes 3 and 4.
Yeah, but they don't mean video games.
I know that, but that line is blurring, my friend.
I don't think so.
I just think that they could have mentioned The Force Unleashed in this press release and given it a little tip of the hat. Just saying.
But then that opens up the whole.
It does, right? Because then you're going to think, oh, well, then it's going to cover that. You know, yeah. I know. I'm with you. There was really no win, but it just seems like, for me as a Star Wars fan, I read that. I'm like, well, no, you did. This has been covered. But anyway, it says it takes place in a time where the Empire is securing its grip on the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi Knights as a fledgling rebellion against the Empire is taking shape. Of course, it's a closely guarded secret, all the details about the show. But nonetheless, you know, this is the dark times. They could actually call this Star Wars Dark Times if they wanted. But it's Star Wars Rebels. So I'm guessing then that it will really focus in on the birth of the rebellion. But when I read this, Jim, and this is really, it's all semantics here. But when I read this at first, I read it like this. The Empire is securing its grip on the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi Knights as a fledgling rebellion against the Empire. And I'm like, whoa. So it's the Jedi Knights that form the beginnings of the rebellion. against the Empire. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of a cool concept. I never thought that the surviving Jedi of Order 66 would have been the foundation for the rebellion. But then I reread it, and I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Empire securing its grip on the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi Knights as a fledgling rebellion against the Empire is taking shape. So the last of the Jedi Knights, the fledgling Empire, not one and the same here. So anyway, you know, words matter, right?
Well, of course. And, you know, we'll be trying to read between the lines of any sort of information we get in the next year concerning this animated series. And, oh, by the way, just so people don't think that we were sleeping at the wheel here, we did contact Lucasfilm and asked about a possible interview this week with Dave Filoni or anyone working on the team with Star Wars Rebels. And we were politely told that, you know, for right now, I'm going to keep on the down low about that, that sort of thing. You know, and
this is Rebel Force Radio, guys. Right away, here they come.
So, but
guys, don't give up.
But I gotta say, I got a great response also that where they said, you know, we are really looking forward to working with you guys again on a new Star Wars series.
Oh, that's
and
very so cool.
That made me feel very happy because
great.
We've had nothing but a great experience working with Lucasfilm as we covered Star Wars, The Clone Wars during all those years. And now we're transitioning into Star Wars Rebels. And when right. I bring up Clone Wars in the same sentence as Star Wars Rebels, it really makes you open your mind up to the possibilities of storylines that were left unresolved in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, coming back to life in Star Wars Rebels. Specifically, what I think of right away is the Boba Fett resolution that we need to have. I mean, we already know what happens. Yeah, he gets the Mandalorian armor and he reclaims the Slave One, but we want to see that happen, and maybe Star Wars Rebels could be the place where that happens. Could Star Wars Rebels be a place where Ahsoka Tano turns up?
Yeah.
You know, the possibilities here are endless. People have been writing us at show at rebelforceradio.com, and they have been giving us a lot of great ideas for ways that storylines from the Clone Wars can be continued in Star Wars Rebels. And it would take the whole show for me to go through all of that right now, and I'm saving it all so we can discuss further in future episodes, but really makes you think about what sort of directions they can go in. There was this mystery video released by Filoni. It was on the Star Wars Twitter. And it's just this quick, like, 10-second video of Dave holding up a vintage Kenner TIE Fighter. I'm pretty sure it's a reissue, you know, done by Hasbro nowadays. But he's holding it up, and he says, $10! So I guess that's, I assume that's what they build him for, the toy. And so then he's sitting there, and Killian Plunkett's leaning over, and you see Pablo's in the room too, and Dave's taking it out of the packaging going, this is research! This is research!
$10. This is research!
And it is, because we've seen sketches that Dave has drawn of TIE Fighters. So obviously we're going to see Star Wars Rebels, but we're also going to see Star Wars Empire, specifically the rise of the Empire, which is a very exciting notion when you consider that you have Darth Vader out there hunting down Jedi. Will they focus in on Vader? I don't know. There was a lot of talk on Star Wars 1313 or Star Wars Underworld or the live action show featuring the hunt for the Jedi, but not necessarily featuring Vader so much.
Yeah. I think that I've given this a lot of thought. And if this was George, if this was George's show,
yeah,
I would say little to no Vader.
Right.
This is Disney's Star Wars. There's going to be Vader.
Bring on the Dark Lord.
Bring on the Dark Lord. They're going to go with the smart money, and we all want to see Vader. And this turns me on. I mean, what's going to get you to tune into this show each and every week is seeing Darth Vader. I mean, it. There's no way that they're going to be that they're going to play coy with the most iconic face of the brand. Clearly, is Darth Vader. So I definitely think it's going to be Vader centric, or at least he'll be a prominent. a prominent character. But the fact, Gemma, that you bring up the TIE Fighter, and we've had a couple of teases from Dave about the TIE Fighter. You played the one clip last week on the program. And this, I think, leads me to believe that we're probably looking closer to the events of Ep 4 than we are the events of Ep 3, because the technology has to take on, you know, some evolution before they get to the familiar OT look and design. So that's sort of my way of kind of trying to figure out where this is going to take place. And also, I think it's pretty evident by the focus that Disney has had so far that they are interested in re-engaging the fans of the original trilogy era. And so I think that any opportunity that they get to incorporate those designs and those elements, they're going to do. So if I had to guess, I would say that we're probably looking at somewhere, you know, in the neighborhood of the, you know, 10 years prior to A New Hope. That'd be my guess. Maybe even sooner, you know, if they want to, you know, throw in a Han Solo character in there, you know, we'll see. But I don't think they're going to be shy with incorporating original trilogy elements.
Well, yeah, you know, that's all speculation right now at this point. I kind of think maybe they'll try to fall in closer to Clone Wars because, as I mentioned, there are, you know, plot lines and story threads that are unresolved from Clone Wars, and it would be nice to be able to wrap it all up while moving the entire franchise into a new direction.
We're only talking about 20 years. Okay, so 20 years ago from now was 93. It seems like yesterday. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, 20 years is not, you know, when old Ben in Ep 4 was talking about, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yes.
Like 14 years ago. I mean something tells me that the day that he marooned himself on Tatooine was not the last day he heard Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm guessing he heard it a few times before. I think old Ben had some adventures out there with maybe perhaps Bail Organa or some other folks that knew him in his previous life that would have probably called him Obi-Wan. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that 20-year period when you're a kid and you're hearing Obi-Wan talk for the first time about that seems like, you know, a century. Mm-hmm. It's really not that long.
You open up the door to the possibility of there being Obi-Wan Ben Kenobi the Hermit in action in this series, too. Because, you know, I mean, down at his core, by the time of the original trilogy, old Ben is a rebel. He has joined the rebellion, essentially. He has come out of retirement. Yeah, he's a rebel. So,
rebel yell and the whole thing.
Could we see? I mean, how exciting would that be? We're halfway through season two or season three of Star Wars Rebels, and we start seeing promos featuring an old hermit in the desert with his hood pulled up, and then you hear James Arnold Taylor's voice.
It'd be fantastic. I don't want to wait till season three. I want that.
You know how it goes.
Out of the gate. You know, that was one of my biggest frustrations with the Clone Wars.
Absolutely.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, it just seemed to sometimes take forever to get warmed up.
You're
it was just like
right,
you could just hear it going, you just turn over, damn it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't want to happen with Rebels. I want you come out, I'm balls a-blazing. I want to see this thing be Star Wars. And I want to see Vader, and I want to see old Ben, and I want to see the whole bit, Bail Organa, and all that stuff. I love that Star Wars wants to expand upon itself, but at the same time, I'm excited about Disney's focus on core principal characters from, you know, the original trilogy era and all of that. But clearly having Dave there as a connective to the Clone Wars. And look, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm guessing that a number of the – we don't know. It's all speculation, of course. But I'm thinking that the Clone Wars voice actor camp would most likely be prime candidates for, you know, new or recurring roles in this new series. So I'm overjoyed by this news. I really am. I'm so stoked that that Dave is there as executive producer. Joel Aaron is involved again. You've got guys like Kinberg that are going to be, you know, lending that credibility from the film side. It's incredible. Not to mention Gary Weissman. I'm thrilled. I am thrilled by this announcement. This is very exciting. Now, there are some folks out there, Jim, that are talking about, you know, will this have the same kind of scale and scope as Clone Wars? And we don't know. I'll say one thing. Dave started working on the Clone Wars. What was that? 96?
Oh, no, like 2006.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, yeah, 2006. Excuse me. 96. That would be a long time. 2006, because right after Revenge of the Sith. And we saw and we know that the technology rapidly advanced. And granted, I'm sure they were spending a good chunk of money on that show. But the changes and the advancements in technology, particularly when it comes to animation and computer animation and all of that, it's just as rapid as what's happening, you know, in your home. When you look at your own personal computer and what the abilities that you have that you didn't have 6 months ago, a year ago, what have you. So, you know, will it be as, you know, jaw-droppingly beautiful as Clone Wars? Perhaps not, but my guess would be that it would be on par with what we saw maybe in the early days of the Clone Wars, even if they go that route, you know, if they go that super style. Would you like to see them stick with a very stylized look, or would you like them to go with maybe a little bit more, I hate to say realistic, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, you could say like traditional realism,
sure,
as we know, right, it in the Star Wars universe. Right. Star Wars fans traditionally like representations of their characters to be as accurate to the film version as possible. The example I want to point out is in the mid 90s when Hasbro revived the action figure line, they were all bulked up and steroided up. The Luke Skywalker is still known to this day as the steroid Luke because Hasbro was under the assumption that kids wanted He-Man like heroes, big, bulky, like wrestling heroes, you know, like people you see in the WWE. That was what's appealing to the young kids of the time, and they were so misdirected with that idea, and they learned right away that fan backlash was terrible. People wanted realistic looking representations of the characters that they know, and in Star Wars Rebels we are going to be seeing characters that we know. Do we want to see them go down the Clone Wars route again and present us with the Thunderbirds-esque mannequin, what's the name of that puppet that's up on the strings? He's a marionette.
The marionette look. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Very wooden looking. You know, howdy doody time. No,
well, which it did evolve though.
It did change
them like that.
It did change, but look at the first few seasons of Clone Wars. I mean, they. I mean, it looks like Obi-Wan's. You know, we talked about his his wooden nuts. On the old show.
Right. Yeah. We were known to have those conversations.
we got to dig up the Jedi Schwa songify of that moment.
Right. Yeah, we do. We do. It's in the archives.
You know, I mean, it was just.
Well, what about you? Would you?
No, like, no. Again, I'm getting to my point here.
Oh, okay. All right.
Is the fact that I stand with the people who want realistic, film accurate representations of the characters. I am still to this day kind of let down by the fact that R2 was so stylized and different looking in Clone Wars. The details on his barrel were much more angular and just didn't look exactly like R2 as we knew him. And that always bothered me because that's an iconic character, and I want to see
a softer, more rounded kind of look. The character's not so angular.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. However, I mean, you know, I've also grown very accustomed to that look, that style from Star Wars: The Clone Wars, grown to love it and accept it fully as a Star Wars fan too. So I'm not afraid with going outside the box here or there, but I'm just pointing to examples throughout history of my personal fandom where I realize that I'm not alone in wanting film accurate, realistic depictions of these characters outside of the films. Right. I felt the same way reading the old Marvel comics in the mid 70s. Now I look back at them finally and with a lot of nostalgia, and I appreciate the art style that a person like Carmine Infantino would bring to those panels. But yet, his style was so flat and his proportions were so off, and R2 would change from panel to panel completely looking different than he did in the panel previously. But, you know, I accepted it. And so that's why I think that I want to see them looking like they do on the screen, because I more instantly accept them in my heart as being the characters they're supposed to be. Now, I have a lot of faith in this series. Maybe if the budget is a little bit lower and not as ambitious as Star Wars: The Clone Wars was, well, that's fine, because you have guys like Killian Plunkett working on this show. You have Joel Aaron. Joel, who could bring CGI magic to anything he touches. The guy understands lighting, composition like no one else. I mean, really, in film. And he is a wizard at bringing animated 2D or 3D to life in such a profound way. And so that's why I'm relieved to know that Joel is on board. And we have some highlights from the video that was posted to StarWars.com, the big announcement video. The first cut we have here is Pablo Hidalgo and Dave Filoni sort of letting the cat out of the bag, finally. These guys have had to bite their lips for a while, but here now they're finally able to talk about Star Wars Rebels.
So this is a whole new era to get into in between episodes 3 and 4.
Yes, the opportunity to work in the era that I grew up with, you know, even though it precedes that era, this show will precede episode 4, is still tremendously exciting, because this visual language is now open to us, and very directly what Ralph McQuarrie was doing is now open to us in a way that we could never exploit on Clone Wars.
You look at Ralph's design, and it's a few degrees off of where it was in episode 4 because it's concept art.
That's right.
When you use it in Rebels, it's going to be a few degrees off of episode 4 because that's where we are in the timeline.
Yeah. We said, what if this was CG? What if these paintings just pop them off and suddenly get in dimension and the same type of camera work that you see in the original films? That would be a very inspired animated series.
Well, Dave certainly sounds excited, and as well he should be. But it was interesting to see in that video that, you know, they're using the distance. This is fascinating now. The distance between Ralph's concept work and what was seen on the film, perhaps as the gap between episodes 3 and 4. That, well, they're using that natural distance that occurred because what Ralph provided was concept work, and, you know, bringing that to life as an iterative step prior to what we see in the films.
Oh, it's genius. Obviously a great tribute to the man who created more concepts than Star Wars itself could contain in those original films. So it's so smart of these guys to be going back and tapping into the genius of Ralph McQuarrie and realizing that the concepts that evolved into the iconic film imagery that we finally got to see, that it did go through an evolutionary process before it hit the silver screen, and sometimes stayed loyal, very loyal to Ralph's original vision, and at other times really went in a different direction altogether. So now to see the purity of Ralph's vision for Star Wars come to life in Star Wars Rebels, I mean, come to life. We've had little tastes and little hints of Ralph's concept work in Star Wars: The Clone Wars. But to really see it fully come to life in Star Wars Rebels, like I believe they're teasing us with right here in this video, by making such a big deal of it, that is so legit. I mean, if you want to talk about Star Wars cred, street cred, Ralph McQuarrie is it. And Joel Aaron knows about this too. So he pops up in the video and he has a few things to say about Ralph's artwork.
I want to go as far as really trying to get the essence and color palette out that you see in all of Ralph McQuarrie prints. And then that feeling, that journalistic feeling that you get with the lighting, with the color tones in A New Hope.
There you go. So, I mean, they're talking about not just the look of Ralph's concepts, but also the documentary style of the camera angles and the way that episode four was shot, and well, the whole original trilogy. So what else can you ask for? Right. I mean, you've got the experience now of the guys from the Clone Wars and you turn them loose into that OT era, or an era that scratches the OT in a way that is, you know, it's a combination to awesome is what it is.
You know, it's I got the same buzz when the Dark Horse made the announcement that they're going to be doing the comic series based on George's original rough draft for Star Wars. It's gone beyond the point of where the concepts were just a mere step in the evolutionary process of the art that we see on the silver screen. Now the concepts themselves are going to become art. So things things are coming full circle, and it's amazing to watch this happen. As someone who grew up always wondering about these things, you know, you would look at those Art of Star Wars books and say, well, that's a different-looking speeder bike, but, wow, I could really see that flying through the Endor Forest. What would that look like? You just had your imagination and a few sketches from the brilliant mind of Ralph McQuarrie to sort of push you in that direction, but now, I mean, let's just unleash the beast and push this thing to its full potential. So it's going to be interesting. What kind of concepts will the concepts generate?
Yeah. No doubt. Also, Dave chimes in here about the involvement of producer Weissman and Simon Kinberg.
Also working on the show, Greg Weissman, a name that's known very well from animation fans.
That's right. Well, Gargoyles, Greg. Gargoyles. You know, back in the day for Disney Television, it was one of the first real action adventure shows that I had seen them do.
I'm really excited that Simon Kinberg is involved in the show.
It's pretty exciting.
I know.
I mean, I have to say,
we've heard his name attached to Star Wars projects. Now he's consulting on Episode 7. He's working on his own standalone film.
That's right.
Big movie guy working on the show.
I know. Every time we sit down, I get so excited about just what we're talking about. We haven't even really gotten to it yet in a lot of ways, but, you know, just sending him images and then him getting inspired off of images that we sent. And, you know, I think the fans are going to see the payoff when this show airs.
Wow.
Now, I do have to throw this out because in this entire, you know, 2-3 minute, whatever length the video was, there was one name that was not really mentioned at all.
You're talking about the notorious GL?
Talking about the notorious GL.
Yeah, he's retired.
I'm retired. That's what he told TMZ. I'm out. But at the same time, it's a little sobering to sit here and be buzzing about new Star Wars, and then go, wait a minute. It all of a sudden it's like just it's kind of like when you look at the kitchen table and there's an empty place sitting there, you know?
Well, I've certainly gotten excited over Star Wars projects on the horizon that George Lucas didn't have his fingerprints in. You know, I know over the course of the last 20, 25 years, there would be Star Wars novels that I would be counting down to days until they hit the shelves. And even still to this day, there's certain books. Gosh, that Darth Plagueis book was just outstanding. And and same thing in the realm of comics.
I think George actually had some input on the Plagueis book, actually.
True. But you know what I'm saying.
Right. And look, we've been around the block long enough. We know that George's George was not infallible. George's involvement did not always mean success.
No, but it did legitimize what was happening. And sure. I think with the mere presence of Dave Filoni, that the Lucas vision lives on. And it's just maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit more of a collaborative effort than it had ever been in the past. Because, you know, on George's desk is where, you know, the buck stops here. So
does he have that on his desk? I know you're thinking figuratively, but you know, you were speaking figuratively. But yeah, he does.
Maybe he does. I don't. You know what? They don't ever let me near George's desk.
You sat in his chair in the theater, though.
I did do that. But I can't get near his
did
desk.
Did you feel like where his butt cheeks, like, you know, like, did was there a depression in the seat?
Yes, there was. Yeah. And was really? I just kind of worked my way right in there. It's just kind of grinding around a little bit. And it was just like, oh, I hit the sweet spot right there. And so, yeah, you know, I might have floated an air biscuit in there for George.
All right. Now it's a frat party. Well, there you have it, Star Wars Rebels. Of course, you're going to keep it right here. Your iPhone or your whatever. I don't know. What are you listening to? What are you listening to this show on?
Your Walkman.
Your whatever you're listening to this show on. I hate having to describe that. But just keep your browser or whatever tuned right here to Rebel Force Radio. If you're listening to us, you know how to listen to us. And we'll be bringing you all the action, all the details as more news surfaces about Star Wars Rebel Force Radio. Rebels.
Sweet.
Star Wars Rebels.
No. Sweet.
Okay, so Return of the Jedi. The first teaser trailer has debuted, and we've got a clip right here. This is, of course, Kyle Newman's documentary about the significance, the meaning of the release of Return of the Jedi some 30 years after it debuted, and you can take a look at that. I mean, is this on StarWars.com now?
Yes, these are the teaser trailers, and this is exclusive stuff, actually, that didn't make it into the documentary proper, but there was so much good footage, over 8 hours of footage shot, that little teasers were put together here specifically for StarWars.com to hype up the big release, which is coming up this week at EW.com.
I always thought it was cool when Luke went back to Dagobah.
What I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
A certain point of view?
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's your sister.
I kissed her, dude.
This is a senior moment.
What do you want? I'm an old guy. I was basically living in a sand igloo when you found me.
Perfect plot point before I die.
So good. Now, is there more than one trailer that's been posted?
I think there might have been another one that just went up today as we're recording this podcast on Wednesday night. So they'll be all up there, by the time this podcast gets released to the worldwide audience on Friday. Just keep checking at EW.com for the actual documentary itself, The Return of the Jedi by Kyle Newman. And in that clip, we heard Eli Roth, Chris Hardwick, Isaiah Mustafa, Sam Witwer, Kevin Smith, and Dan Fogler as Yoda there at the end. And
there's a pretty good Yoda there, I gotta say.
Oh, it's great. It's great. And the way it's all synced up with they actually show the clip of the film from the film with Yoda on his deathbed, and it's Fogler's voice coming out of him. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. David Collins worked on the post-production sound. Everything was shot, directed by Kyle, shot by J.C. Reifenberg. This is a Rebel Force Radio family production, and it's just a great piece. It was so well received at the 30th anniversary Jedi VIP screening at the Egyptian Theater a couple weekends ago in Hollywood, and here it is. You can finally see it for yourself, but this is great, these little teaser trailers that are popping up on StarWars.com, because that just expands the documentary to just a wider area, and maybe it can even expand from here in another format somewhere down the road. But this is great stuff. Definitely a labor of love by Kyle Newman, and he made it all happen. So be sure to check it out. StarWars.com, EW.com, The Return of the Jedi.
All right, so I'm really torn about this J.J. Abrams stuff.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. We've got, you know, J.J. Abrams, his latest film, Star Trek Into Darkness, is in the theaters now. And the problem, Jim, mm-hmm. is that there's some great stories, great pieces being written about JJ and Star Wars in the wake of the release of Star Trek Into Darkness, which I haven't seen yet.
No, and I haven't seen it either.
I don't want to be reading, because I've seen enough of the headlines of the different reviews. I know there are two very distinct camps out there about this film. There doesn't seem to be any room for middle of the road here. You either loved this film or you hated it. And I got to be honest with you, I love the 2009 Star Trek. I adore it. And I'm so pumped to see this. Have not had a chance to see. You know, with you, when you got the young kids, right? You got to get the sitter. It's a big production to go see a movie. Just you people out there without kids, just wait. Just wait.
Jason's the only person who's ever had kids.
You know what it's like.
Well, of course I do.
You remember those days?
Yeah, you just keep them in the back seat. It's okay. But I'll tell you what, the reviews.
I've been avoiding this stuff, but, yeah. But you I think have shepherded. And there's no Star Trek spoilers in any of these clips we're about to.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay, so J.J. Abrams, he, of course, has been out there on the promotional tour. The circuit for Star Trek Into Darkness. He's been everywhere. You turn on your TV, you see him on all the talk shows. He's on radio. He's everywhere, except for this show. They won't let him come near us.
Oh, God.
Maybe someday, but just not right now. Right, and he really doesn't have much to say about Star Wars, and everyone asks him the same questions. But I picked three appearances he's made here in the last week and a half that I think were just particularly good ones for entertainment value alone. Not necessarily news.
No scoops here.
No scoops. No spoilers about the current film or what's coming up in the new Star Wars films. You know, he's very coy about all that stuff. But I just want to sort of chart his progress as he's out there making these appearances. And, of course, along with the Star Trek talk, he's going to be talking about the wars, because everyone is so excited about Star Wars returning to the silver screen. Even guys like Howard Stern. Yeah, that's right. Howard Stern. J.J. Abrams was with Howard. He appeared in the studio with him back on May 16th last week. And he told this story, which was part of his Playboy interview. But it's kind of cool to hear it come just directly from J.J. himself. And, you know, Howard has a way of pushing here and prodding there. But he discussed how he eventually decided to actually take on the director's job for Star Wars Episode 7 following his famous meeting with Kathleen Kennedy.
The big thing was, Katie, my wife, and I
had... Beautiful wife.
Thank you so much. Had this big plan to go away with our kids for 6 months. Everything was, like, set. We had this whole plan that in January we were going to do this whole thing. And Kathy comes in, and I assume the meeting's going to be a great meeting. Thank you, no thank you. But by the time the meeting's over, I just had this feeling of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, like, right. Amazing opportunity, crazy opportunity. Right. So I go downstairs. Katie works at Bad Robot. I go downstairs, and I close the door, and I sit down with Katie, and I just say, I just had the meeting with Kathy. You know I'm not going to do it, but part of me wants to do it.
Right.
So she, in her, like, you know...
her wisdom.
Wisdom and sort of patent selflessness says, I think you've got to really think about it. Because this is something that you'll regret if you don't consider it. So she sort of gave me the sort of green light to even think, what would that be? And so now the idea is that we're gonna go to London to shoot the movie. So we're going away, but we're not going away the way we planned at all. It's gonna be crazy.
So you've read the script for the new Star Wars?
Well, this is script being written right now.
Oh, it's being written.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna direct it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
was this news to Howard?
No. Howard knew. He doesn't ever acknowledge anyone when they ask if he's read it. He always says it's being written. But for crying out loud, you know, he's looking at these scripts.
He's looking at the pages as they're being written.
Of course he is.
I'm sure he's on the email thread.
It's Google Docs, probably.
Wait till that account gets hacked.
How would you like to stumble across that one day?
Yeah.
I was just looking for some BitTorrent downloads, and I ended up downloading Star Wars Episode 7. I can see them. They're typing it right now.
It'll be a Google Hangout.
So he avoids that.
Yeah,
he just says it's being written. Yeah, we all know it's being written. It's being worked on. I think they're way farther along in getting closer to the final draft. You know,
everybody knows that he was very involved in the writing process of both of the Star Trek films.
Right.
So he's more than just a director. You know, he's not just going to take anything and put it on the screen. He has to believe in it. And this is not a guy who's shy about putting his stamp on a universe. And he loves Star Wars. And so I would expect nothing less than I want J.J. Abrams involved.
Mm-hmm.
I want him involved in this process. This, they got to get this right. They know it. And Jim, you mentioned before about George and, you know, with Rebels perhaps being more of a collaborative effort. And I think that perhaps is one of the failures of George's version of Star Wars post original trilogy, is that he became such an icon that whether he demanded it or not, the result was, I think, that he consequently was surrounded by a lot of people who just did what he asked them to do and didn't push back a lot. And I think that we're going to get a Star Wars here in the form of Episode 7, not Star Wars by committee, but I think certainly Star Wars by collaboration.
Mm-hmm. You do mention that J.J. likes to put his stamp on others' franchises. You're obviously talking about Star Trek. But with Star Trek, he didn't grow up revering it. You know, it wasn't part of the fabric of his childhood. It was something he learned about once he got the gig to do the new Star Trek films. And he went back and watched all the episodes and discovered how these archetypes play against each other and everything like that. But he's still relatively new to the Trek party. Mm-hmm. With Star Wars, he's more like us. He grew up on it. So he might be a little bit more reverent of mm-hmm. the source material when it comes down to it. And at that point, he might actually give George a call and make George earn that creative consultant credit he's going to be getting on these films and say, George, you know, what would George do? WWGD. So it could happen. Speaking of J.J. Abrams and Trek and Wars and how he grew up a Star Wars fan and kind of jumped on board with Trek once he got hired to work on it, he talked about it on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He appeared on that show just recently where he discussed the differences between Trek and Wars.
Well, I think that Star Trek was overtly a kind of, you know, allegory of today, where Star Wars always felt like it was sort of a more epic. It didn't even feel science fiction to me, which I know sounds crazy.
Right.
But Star Wars never felt like a sci-fi thing, where Star Trek did. And we tried to sort of make a Star Trek movie in this one that doesn't suffer from a kind of, you know, the original show was sort of static because they couldn't afford to go anywhere or do anything. And we had, you know, a slightly larger budget than they did.
So you're saying that the rocks on your planets are not necessarily styrofoam.
They're real rocks. Yeah.
That was always my favorite part of Star Trek. They'd be like, landslide! And then they would come down, but they clearly would just come down like floating on the wind as it came down, a giant rock.
Have you thought about how you're going to approach Star Wars already? Or is that something you're just not really delving
into
right
early.
Now?
It's so early. No, we are. We're delving now, but it's so early on that I have nothing to talk about other than it's exciting.
Yeah, there you go. I'm imagining that you know, they're probably Jon Stewart and Stern. They're all given instructions about how much they can push when it comes to Star Wars. And, you know, J.J. is certainly just kind of scratching the surface, I guess. But still, it's fun to hear. You know, what a kick to actually hear him on these shows talking about it. It just makes it feel more real.
Yeah, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
There are people who can vouch for this stuff happening.
That's right.
So they put restrictions, like you said. I mean, obviously, there are parameters that these talk show hosts have to maintain, you know, guys like Jon Stewart and Howard, even Howard.
Even Howard.
But all that stuff goes out the window when it comes to Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, boy.
You know, so JJ appeared on Jimmy Kimmel, and he's, you know, talking the trek. But Jimmy wants to know about the wars. So he starts taking fan requests from the audience. And this led to very... very interesting situation that happened shortly after the first couple questions were asked.
I'm working with a great writer and some other, you know, wonderful writers and producer, Kathy Kennedy.
Can you tell us what you've done so far? Is there anything that you can say that has...
Well, we're sort of having a little bit of writer's block trying to figure it out, but we'll get through it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, actually, because I hope you're open to this, but some members of the audience... have ideas. They're fans of yours, and they're fans of Star Wars. And I wonder if you'd be willing to hear them.
Yes.
You know Luke Skywalker?
Yes.
You should have a part in the movie where he uses a lightsaber to fight people. That'd be really cool.
All right, I'll think about that. Thank
also,
you.
Princess Leia and Chewbacca should totally do it.
What?
It's what the fans want to see.
Is that inspiring?
I'm not sure that's the kind of thing we want to...
Well, you may not be sure, but it is what the fans do want to see.
So a couple more questions were asked from the audience.
Parking carpet meets the...
Never mind. Whoa.
Okay, I'll leave that.
Whoa.
All right, we'll leave
it. I'm pulling the plug at carpet, okay?
Woo. So what happens when you rub?
No. There is a sci-fi icon in the audience who stands up and asks JJ this question.
You know, this Han Solo in the land of the Captain Kirk. No rules, no church, you know. Road trip of a lifetime.
That actually sounds pretty great.
That's good. Yes, it is, because I wrote it.
But I agree with those weird people.
That Leia and Chewie should do it. They should do it, JJ. I've made some sketches here. And I...
Oh, boy. Of course, Bill Shatner, so shy.
Of course, if you didn't recognize that voice, yeah, of course, that's Captain Kirk, Shatner. William Shatner.
And of course, you know, Shatner in JJ, well, more Shatner than JJ. JJ hasn't really responded too much. But, you know, Bill, he's been angling for a part in one of these new Star Trek films for years now, since the first one came out. So funny to actually... hear the two, or know that the two finally met. That was probably the first time. Very cool stuff. Very cool.
Well, however, Jason, I got to stop you because, yes, I did conveniently skip one of those audience members who was asking JJ questions.
There was another one?
There was another one. And that leads us to this week's Billy D quote of the week.
Hello, what have we here?
It's just me, Billy D.
Don't mess this up, man. Be smooth.
Lando's right.
Indeed. Sorry, baby. It's just business.
Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler.
Works every time.
And Lando Calrissian is forever.
Yes.
All right. More Jimmy Kimmel Live. Yeah, Billy, of course, Billy D, no stranger to the Jimmy Kimmel show. Black Santa.
Yes.
Wasn't there celebrity tweet plates? That was a recurring bit.
Billy D has made his presence known on Jimmy Kimmel Live for years now. And every time he appears on this show, it's stellar. It's just unfreaking believable. And of course, before we get to Shat, Billy D has to stand up and pitch. You know, we had reported here before on the Billy D quote of the week that Billy D wanted our help. He wanted to build up this volcano of social networking outcry to let the creators of the Star Wars sequel trilogy know that there needs to be a place for Lando Calrissian in this era of Star Wars. So Billy Dee decides to take it right to Jimmy Kimmel, and he stands up and makes a suggestion right to J.J. Abrams' face about Lando Calrissian's role in the Star Wars sequel trilogy.
What is the idea?
I've got an idea. The next Star Wars, nothing but Lando. Two hours of Lando and beautiful ladies making love, sweet love, in the galaxy.
Oh, I like that. Is that it?
Of course. What else do you need?
He makes a good point. What else do you need? You don't need anything else.
Sweet love, the galaxy. Oh my gosh! You know what? Sign me up now. I'll pay $12 to hear that.
The next Star Wars, nothing but Lando and beautiful ladies making love, sweet love, in the galaxy.
Oh my gosh!
Okay,
Great stuff.
And I love how J.J. is able, he's able to play along. He deadpans so well with his Star Wars material. So just to see what he does with the jokes, it really makes me excited to see what he's going to do with the actual film itself.
Rebel Force Radio. Rebel Force Radio. Rebel Force Radio. Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank, two Star Wars fans, and they're tight like Biggs and Tank. They used to work for someone else, but then they left and forged ahead bravely on their own. They left Tatooine and began their own podcast. A Star Wars podcast, Rebel Force Radio. Rebel Force Radio. Rebel Force Radio. Yes, there are other Star Wars podcasts, but Jimmy and Jason will blow them all away. They have the best nerdy knowledge and the best guests in the galaxy. Just listen to the podcast and you'll see. Rebel Force Radio. 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 Rebel Force Radio.
very cool stuff from Robert Dellinger, the legend of Rebel Force Radio. Thank you so much, Rob. That's fantastic. We have such a talented audience here.
We really do.
Rebel Force Radio.
So if you have an idea for a song about Rebel Force Radio, and Jason and myself, why don't you just float us an MP3, show@rebelforceradio.com, and you might hear yourself jamming out on a future episode of Rebel Force Radio.
Rebel Force Radio.
All right, for those of you who've been listening to the show for some time, you know we've been talking about the big contest over at welovefine.com, the Dark Side Design Contest. And of course, the winners were announced last week on the program. But we have joining us our winner, the Rebel Force Radio Judge's pick for his design of the Mouse Droid Maze, Mr. Corey Freeman. Hello, Corey.
Yes.
Hey, it's Jason and Jimmy Mack from Rebel Force Radio. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
The Mouse Droid Maze. Fantastic. Very, very cool shirt. And I tell you, I remember having the discussion with Jimmy, and I said, what I love about this is it's very clean. It's very straightforward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's also obviously, you know, quite clever, too. So I loved it. You know, there was nothing busy about it or you know, overly ornate, you know. So it was really great. So congratulations. You're well deserved. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, you know, I've always appreciated the kind of subtler humor and the subtler references to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see all kinds of Han and Luke and Chewie shirts and everything, and that's cool, but I always like the kind of the stuff that really shows the fans from, you know, the casual fans, the hardcore fans will appreciate the references to the, you know, droids and creatures that get maybe 10 seconds of screen time throughout all of the films. So yeah. I've always kind of enjoyed exploring those relatively undeveloped characters. And I did some stuff with the Gonk droid, who I have always been a big fan of. And I started just kind of putzing with some other more, you know, obviously that particular contest was dark side stuff. And I was thinking about some of the droids on the Death Star, and the mouse droid came to mind pretty quickly. And, you know, the Death Star would be quite the maze, I would think. It kind of clicked to me pretty early on. And I just thought, I mean, I love games. I love, you know, making puzzles and mazes and stuff. So I just thought, well, hey, seemed like a, you know, kind of a no-brainer to me.
Do you take any inspiration from the Robot Chicken episode that featured an actual mouse in the mouse droid? Did you see that?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, my God. You have to watch Star Wars Robot Chicken. Some of the funniest Star Wars parodies out there. And there's a scene, that classic scene from A New Hope, recreated by the geniuses at Robot Chicken, featuring Han and Luke walking Chewie down the Death Star corridor, and they run into a mouse droid, and there is actually a mouse in that thing driving it, and he has a drinking problem.
Nice.
It's like Runaway Ralph. Remember that story?
No.
Yeah, there. Corey remembers Runaway Ralph.
Little red car, right?
That's right. Right. Yeah. With the mouse and the motorcycle. Anyway, So Corey, are you? What do you do? Are you a graphic designer by trade?
Yep, I'm a graphic designer by profession, so it's something I get to kind of putz with a lot. But obviously, you know, you don't get to work on Star Wars projects every day. So whenever I see an opportunity like that where I can really dive into a universe I love, I try to jump on it. And this one was brought to me by one of my friends who's another big Star Wars nerd. He's got the Falcon tattooed on his arm, so that's his, Wars cred.
Sure.
Say it proud.
That's right.
So you've not done anything official for Star Wars at this point.
Right.
This is it. This is your entree. Your first step into a larger world, you might say.
It is. It's always been, I mean, to use the cliche, lifelong dream.
Yeah.
It literally has been. I've said, you know, for many, 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 many years that I've always wanted to have work of mine displayed to the soundtrack. I've always wanted to have John Williams' score, you know, whether it was animation work I did or illustration, just something that was, you know, they got to be part of that universe.
Right.
And maybe I'll have to wear the T-shirt and, you know, bring a boombox so I can have the.
Well, I was going to say we could hum a few bars, Jimmy Mac. You ready? We
could.
I'm looking at the shirt right up. Are you moved?
It's beautiful. I gotta get a tissue.
Well, be careful what you do with that thing. Now, so you are a big Star Wars fan. How excited are you for the prospect of new Star Wars films, Star Wars sequels on the way?
You know, I'm pretty easy to please. I am one of the weirdos who actually enjoyed the prequels. Obviously, you know, when you watch through it with an analytical eye, there's some pretty bad stuff there. But you give me a decent story and some fun lightsaber battles, and I'll show up and I'll buy a ticket or two. I actually saw The Phantom Menace in the theater more times than I probably cared to admit.
Oh, but, how many?
You know, I don't know exactly. I want to say maybe 7 or 8.
Oh, good for you. That's fantastic. And you know, don't say that you're one of the rare ones that love the prequels, because I'm convinced that the majority of Star Wars fans, actual Star Wars fans, appreciate the prequels. My theory has always been that there's a very vocal minority out there that poo-poos. Now, not that the prequels are perfect. No film is perfect.
Of course
not. But nonetheless, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the very, very loud crowd out there that the media has accepted as being the majority of Star Wars fans.
Right.
But no, I think that's wonderful. So what about, did you watch The Clone Wars? Were you into that at all?
Yeah, actually, I got into it only a couple of years ago, so I didn't really track it too closely from the beginning. But
you got into it 2 years right before they, 2 years before they gave it to heave-ho.
Before they canned it.
Yeah.
And I really started to get into it, and such great, you know, great storytelling and rich environments. And for me, one of the best things about Star Wars is the universe and exploring all these nooks and crannies. And they did so much of that so wonderfully in there.
But here's the good news, Corey. The good news is that you've got 3 other seasons that you haven't watched.
That's right.
So 3 seasons worth of new
totally
Star Wars.
I'm caught up now, actually.
Oh, you are caught up. Okay.
Yeah.
And
I got late to the game, but I devoured it pretty quickly.
Are you excited about Rebels and what Dave Filoni and crew are going to bring to that era?
Yeah, I obviously didn't know much about him and his team before, you know, Clone Wars, but I'm a believer now, so I'm definitely watching closely any projects that he's attached to, and I think there's going to be some cool stuff coming from him.
Do you have a favorite Star Wars artist, either someone who worked on the films or who works sort of like the fringes like you do?
Sure, yeah, well, I mean, it's probably said by 90% of the people, but I got to give it up to Ralph McQuarrie.
There we go.
Answer.
I remember very, very vividly. I must have been, I mean, I was probably maybe 7 or 8. So it's quite a while ago. And I remember picking up The Art of Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back in a bookstore somewhere. And I saw these early concepts of Yoda. And this was before I really understood much of what concept design or, you know, the production process in film. And I saw these little, essentially Papa Smurf concepts, and my mind was just blown. I didn't understand what the hell I was looking at, because that's not Yoda, right? I mean, didn't someone just sit down and draw Yoda and that was it?
Right. So, that's how it works, you know, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, going back and looking at all these original concepts and seeing, you know, especially these days, obviously, everything's done digitally, and I am a digital artist, so I certainly can't poo-poo it, but there's so much beauty in his original paintings, you know, the matte paintings that they did that were all traditional media and everything, just so much wonderful art in those films, and some gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous stuff, of course, from Ralph.
Excellent. And if people are interested in seeing your art, where do they go?
Well, I have a portfolio. It's actually more commercial work. It's, you know, basically a job for, or a portfolio for getting a job, but Corey Freeman Design, all one word.
And some of your Star Wars artwork is up there. I notice you have some T-shirt designs, which are very cool.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of the area that I'm starting to poke into. I've been so focused on, you know, work portfolio for so long that I've kind of lost sight of doing fun projects.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been something that I've recently gotten back into, and actually saying, hey, you know what, I can do art for me, not just for clients.
Good, man. You should work hard and play hard. That's our motto.
That's right. That's right.
An environment like Star Wars is about the most fun you can have.
Definitely.
So you got $400. What are you going to do with that cash?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. I guess it's the thought has occurred to me to put a little bit more time into my, you know, t-shirt designs and actually try to produce some more. There's some other contests that I'm in that are going to be revealing some information soon. I can't say much, but I'm excited to see kind of where that path leads. It's something that is a lot of fun. I've always appreciated nerdy shirts, and again, you know, I love creating those kind of subtle jokes that not everyone walking down the street will appreciate, but the one person who does, you know, you instantly have a bond with them because you both get this inside humor.
Well, I'm looking at some of the t-shirt artwork. It's really, really good stuff, man. I hope some of these see the light of day. Obviously, folks will be able to go to welovefine.com and get the winning t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But some of this other stuff, I hope that maybe that opens a door for you, because I would get in line for the Pac-Man shirt. Just saying.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, thank
you. Yeah, love that. That's very cool. And Slimer, too.
Thank you.
Gotta love Slimer. Great stuff.
Ghostbusters has always been a close one to me, too, and I'm always looking for ways to, you know, mash up my favorites, and I've been mulling around an Akbar ghost trap idea for a while, so...
Perfect.
Don't say that
on the show, because someone's going to be... See, you got to do it. You have until Friday.
Yeah.
When the show gets posted to make that happen. But that's cool. Very cool stuff. The website is CoreyFreemanDesign.com. Take a look. It's really great stuff. Corey, so proud of you. Happy for you.
Thanks very much, guys.
You're so welcome and well-deserved. Great design.
You guys, like I say, you literally helped me achieve a lifelong dream, so I really, really appreciate that.
Wow.
Our pleasure.
That's
our
awesome. Pleasure. Take care, man. Corey.
Thanks so much for joining us. And
thanks for having me.
To see you at a Star Wars celebration soon.
I hope so. We'll see you there.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. There he is, Corey Freeman. He is our judge's pick, the Rebel Force Radio judge's pick of the We Love Fine Design the Dark Side t-shirt contest. Mouse Droid Maze was the shirt. And remember, Rebel Force Radio listeners can save 15% on their order by using the code RebelForce15 at checkout. So great guy, Corey. Sounds like a real nice guy.
So what is our cut of that $400? I was trying to do the math here as I said. Is that we get 15% of that?
No, actually, I got a bill. They invoiced us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We actually owe them.
That's about right. That's about right.
Must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, you write, we listen, and we read. Listener feedback here on Rebel Force Radio. First one comes from Rob Wolf, and this was a post over on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/Rebel Force Radio, and I'm seeing this for the first time here.
I'm going to read it. Rob writes to us, favorite Star Wars moment of the weekend? Recognizing one of my two favorite podcasters, Jason Swank, at Wingfoot Lake Park in Stark County. Jason, were you recently at Wingfoot Lake Park? Is this? There's no coincidence here. This is really, this is real life. Jason's-
Seriously, is this for real? This was a real post.
Rob continues, taking my two sons and big dogs for a walk, I saw Jason putting stuff in his car. What were you stuffing your car with at Wingfoot Lake Park? Now, Rob avoided you. He said, did not introduce myself. Figured he was enjoying family time. Oh, good. Thank God you weren't alone. I'm one of those creepy guys who hangs out at the park by himself, putting stuff in his car.
I can't believe this.
although I think... You might have made eye contact or something with Rob, because he says, although I detected a look in my direction with my ever-present Star Wars shirt on. Did you see a guy at Wingfoot Lake Park as you were putting stuff in your car wearing a Star Wars shirt, taking his big dogs and kids for a walk?
Yes, and yes, I was at Wingfoot Lake Park on Saturday. We had a big family reunion at Wingfoot Lake Park in Stark County. In the Hartville area, it's right by where my mom lives, and this is so bizarre. I cannot believe this, because I distinctly distinctly remember seeing a dude walking with a Star Wars t-shirt on. And well, I did a double take.
What was the design? It wasn't.
I couldn't even tell you.
It wasn't the mouse droid, mate.
No.
No. Man, he's all over it.
But, look, I mean, it's one thing to be walking through the convention center and, the Orange County Convention Center there in Orlando and get recognized. It's another thing to be at Wingfoot Lake Park in Stark County and be recognized. That's very nice. And Rob, please, next time, just come up and introduce yourself. That would be wonderful. I was putting stuff in my car, so I must have been – that was when we were leaving. My 8-month-old son was quite a trooper. He was, it was one of those, Jim, the family reunions in the park all day long in the shelter. The men stand around by the cooking meat, the women folk inside the shelter watching the kids. What I'm talking about, right?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Right. That's very traditional.
And so, yes, we were, we did some fishing. We did some paddle boating. It was a really great place, Wingfoot Lake Park. Really nice place. But I distinctly remember seeing a dude wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. And what was funny about it was that, so I see him, and I know now that it's loyal Rebel Force Radio listener, Rob Wolf. The next day, I'm at Kmart, local Kmart. I still shop at Kmart once in a while. Buying a new set of patio furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude ringing me up is wearing a Star Wars t-shirt.
Right on.
Yeah, he's rocking this. So immediately, I kind of go, I'm like, hey, man, like we're simpatico, I guess. And yes. I guess in the back of my mind, I just had a thought, maybe this guy might recognize me. I don't know. So, of course, I'm like, my good friend and yours, my wife, right here, standing here, we're buying the patio furniture. I'm very subtle, of course, dropping hints and getting nothing from this guy. I thought maybe, throwing 500 bones down for this patio furniture, I'm hoping to get a little love, 15% off, something. Nothing from this guy. So, but it was Rob that actually recognized me. So two guys wearing Star. So can I just make the assumption that one of two people wearing Star Wars t-shirts will recognize who I am?
Yes, you can make that assumption.
All right. So one out of two.
One out of two. Survey says one out of two Star Wars t-shirt wearers will recognize. That's a 50%.
That's good. That's so cool, though. And Rob, seriously, next time, dude, just come up and say hi. But that's very nice of him, though, to think where I was having filming time. I might have been mildly irritated at how much crap I had to, because we had both kids. You know what that does to you, Jim? The stuff that you have to take with you with kids.
It's ridiculous.
The amount of stuff. And I was shoving that all in the cars. I open up the trunk and realize that I had brought balloons for the event. Totally forgot about them.
Oh, not the balloons.
I forgot about the balloons. They were in the trunk of the car. It was very warm out. So they didn't look so hot.
So you got big celebrity sighting here.
Yeah, right.
Jason Swank surrounded by balloons and like baby car seats and
pack and plays and
oh my God, you have to lug that out.
Oh yeah, the pack and play.
Just let the kids out in the field. Let them roam.
throw my son down out in the grass. Well, thank you, Rob. That is awesome. That made my day, man. That's awesome. Let's see. Here's an email from Jared Hale. Jared writes, "Hey Jason, Jimmy Mac, faithful Rebel Force Radio listener, going on 5 years now. My son, also named Jason, is 9 years old and is a huge John Williams fan. Tonight he performed a duet of the Imperial March with his teacher, Jay on the piano and his teacher on the snare drum. So what we got going on here is a little concerto. Jay on the piano, the teacher on a snare drum. Jason converted the orchestral version into a piano version of the song. We've heard it every day for about a year now. Oh, yeah, getting ready for the big recital. As well as Duel of the Fates and the Cantina Band. I hope you enjoy it as much as we do. And Jared sent along a clip here of young Jason playing the Imperial March. If I can find it, where'd it go? Here it is. 9-year-old
Jason Hale on the piano. Jason Hale, my man, fantastic. By the way, I always thought that when, you know, I would always want that song playing as I like enter the room. Mm-hmm. That's the version that I want playing. I want that banging on the piano. I love that. That was so cool. In the drum. That was excellent. I love the little improvisation that he did there towards the end. Talented kid, 9 years old. Awesome.
9 years old. You don't know how many musical recitals I've had to sit through, and I never heard anything as cool as that. That was great.
That's so great. Off. It was just missing a little Billy Mack on the guitar there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, now that kid can shred some heavy. He owes us a Star Wars heavy metal guitar recital here on Rebel Force Radio. We have to make that happen.
Can I just say, I just want to point out that I don't believe that Billy Mack has appeared yet on an episode of Rebel Force Radio. Technically.
Well, we have to change that. Yeah. We have to change that. He's a great musician. A lot of our audience members are great musicians, as we heard earlier before with that really awesome tune, the Legend of Rebel Force Radio by Rob Dellinger. And here we have a dude who always keeps in touch with us. He's very thoughtful in his appreciation of the Star Wars saga. His name's Din, and Din has a band called The Souls. He gave us a shout-out as he was introducing this new song, and it's a song that's it's based in like the beliefs of Joseph Campbell, the call to adventure and all that stuff. And he gave us here at Rebel Force Radio a shout-out. So here's an audience recording of The Souls. And lead singer Din giving us here at Rebel Force Radio a shout out.
A Star Wars fan podcast called Rebel Force Radio. Rebel Force Radio. And they've been really supportive of me, so I wanted to give them a shout out. Jason Strang and Jimmy McInerney. Art on the journey, bypass economy crash. Driving streams for reality. Drive is gold, restrain the motion. Peace in the ocean, here in the moment. Everyone an atom in a quantum mechanic.
Wow. So, like, our shout-out actually was almost part of the song.
It was.
It really was.
If he does an album cut of that, I want that part of it. I don't want that just to be the exclusive live version. I want to be on the original album version.
Yes. Take it to the
studio. Right.
But, you know, hey, The Souls, I'd like to hear them maybe if they wanted to put together some sort of a Star Wars tribute or Rebel Force Radio jingle. That would be very cool, too. So yeah. I'd like to collect those from all of our musical listeners.
That would be awesome. Well, thank you very much, Din. And, yes, he is one of one of the favorites here, because every time Din emails or makes a post on Facebook, I'm sure to read it, because a very thoughtful guy and puts a lot of emotion and good vibes in his Star Wars commentary. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, we see a lot of that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Rebel Force Radio. So he's a strong contributor to that page, and you should too. If you haven't liked our official Facebook page, well, gosh darn it, you should, because you get a lot of cool info. We actually break news on our social networking platforms from time to time. So,
and by we, Jimmy Mack means he breaks news very frequently. Jimmy, you really kind of were a sort of a social media late bloomer, I would say. But man, oh man, have you taken Facebook by storm? You
I figured
are a Facebook
it out.
Posted machine.
Well, it's fun. It's definitely fun.
And then with that iPhone, you're just dangerous.
Yeah, I am a little dangerous, especially when I'm driving. Stay out of the way.
Right. Or launching pages for new podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially this one.
Here's a, speaking of Facebook, we did get a comment here from Carrie Hutchison. I guess Carrie says, hello, RFR. I hope the start of the weekend finds you well. I have a question stemming from an older podcast. I believe Jason said that for sentimental reasons, Return of the Jedi was his favorite of the Star Wars. I was curious what that reason was, but I certainly understand if it's more personal than preference. Keep up the great work on all fronts, and thanks for everything. Thanks for the question, Carrie. It's not too personal to share. When I say that Return of the Jedi is my sentimental favorite, I know as a lover of film and of storytelling that it's really hard to ignore the fact that Empire Strikes Back as a film is downright perfect. I mean, it's close to perfect. And Return of the Jedi has a few warts. They're minor, but has a few warts. But Return of the Jedi will always be my sentimental favorite, even though the intellectual side of me screams that Empire is the superior film. So I always qualify saying that, no, Jedi is my sentimental favorite, because even though I know it's not a superior film technically to Empire, it was the first one that I have a clear memory of seeing in the theater, not just once, but several times that year when it came out, and on this a few subsequent re-releases to the theater. And it's also the one that is the most emotional for me. I think that payoff at the end with the scene with Luke and Vader / Anakin is, I think, just the perfect conclusion to the to that chapter of the Star Wars saga. So, and Yoda's death and the beautiful conversation between Luke and Obi-Wan there on Dagobah, and the raid on Jabba's sail barge. There's just so many wonderful moments in that film that it's just a sentimental favorite. Jim, does that make sense?
Absolutely it does, Jason. You're speaking directly from your heart. That was a very honest, heartfelt answer. And it's your sentimental favorite. Yeah. So if that is the reason why you feel that way, no one can dispute that with you. I actually thought that was a great answer. And my sentimental favorite will always be A New Hope. Right. That was my introduction into Star Wars. That to me is the classic Star Wars film. Is it as great as Empire Strikes Back? Something kind of interesting that's going to be coming out and revealed in Jonathan Renzler's new book, Making of Return of the Jedi, is the fact that, and I recall this, when Empire was released, it wasn't the pick-me-up, feel-good film. And you were left there kind of, you left the theater feeling down. And
it was a downer, wasn't it?
A little bit. It was a downer. And I don't think it was really publicly received as being the fan favorite of the original trilogy upon its original release. I think that's something that came in time over the course of the decade following Return of the Jedi. Because when you got back to Jedi, then you are like, well, this is the feel-good film. But some of us had grown up and gotten jaded and said, why are you presenting me Star Wars with teddy bears and Muppets? History changes everything.
Yeah.
When you look back at things, you see things in a different perspective. By the time the original trilogy had wrapped in 83, I think the general consensus among fans who were there through all three chapters, I believe the general consensus was A New Hope was the superior of the three. And then in the decade that followed, fan appreciation of Empire Strikes Back blossomed, and people really saw it for the masterpiece that it is. But when it stood alone, it left feeling empty in 1980. You walked away from the theater feeling rather unfulfilled. There were so many loose ends.
Can you imagine walking into that movie, though, Jim, having not I know that this happened to people, but imagine walking into that flick not having seen A New Hope. It would be kind of bizarre, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure there was. I mean, you know, there's no explanation for what has thrown all these people together and exactly what they're fighting.
Like, who's this ghost in the middle of the, you know, the snowy plains?
Who is this old character?
So, no, just great. You know, I love the memories of Return of the Jedi that are flooding in here now as we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of that film. So, great, you know, great feedback coming in on Facebook. I caught this one on Twitter. Chris Keller writes, hashtag Ask Star Wars. My question is, when will StarWars.com finally recognize the efforts and works of at Rebel Force Radio and recognize what they do? All right. Hallelujah. Finally, someone's speaking up. At Martin of Lucasfilm promptly responds, as soon as those lazy jerks get off their butts and write a blog post for us. Okay. All right.
All right. All right, fine. When Matt's got his hand out now.
That's all it takes is a blog post. I'm going to send you 10 this weekend.
Not as easy as it sounds. Take it from me.
Well, that is true, Jason. We were asked to write blog posts quite a while ago from StarWars.com.
And I did.
And I guess we – well, you did. You did, and it was rejected.
But you know what?
Okay. We don't need to get into the words of wise. It was actually a brilliant piece, and
well,
you should
thank you very much.
Publish it somewhere. I mean, you know, my goodness, we could put it up on Facebook if we want. It was just a really great piece, a sentimental piece about – Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and it was written before it was announced that
that's
the
right.
series was concluding. So
winding down.
Winding down. I'm sorry.
Is it still winding down?
Yes, it is. There's so much to be excited about with Star Wars, The Clone Wars. They showed a great clip from this Yoda story arc at Star Wars Weekends this past weekend.
Yeah.
Yoda is apparently being held in the Jedi Temple against his will for some reason. He looked like he was in an infirmary of some sort. Maybe he was injured, but he wasn't really allowed to just walk out of there. Those Jedi Temple guards were keeping him there, and it was with the help of Anakin Skywalker, he's actually able to get out of there, and he jumps into this prototype TIE fighter and takes off into hyperspace. Where is he going? Why is he being held against his will? These are questions that need to be answered.
We want
to
know.
Will be answered in the bonus content whenever it's released.
All right, since this is listener feedback, and since I was just a listener to last week's episode, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir. Jason Swank.
Jason
from
Swank,
Kent, Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. McNerney. I was listening to Rebel Force Radio last week's episode, and you had talked about the various clips that we've seen of the dink dink bonus content coming up from the Clone Wars. And you had pointed out last week that you weren't sure if we were talking about three distinct arcs or maybe perhaps one arc that had these different elements, the Yoda story, Order 66, etc. Do you have any further information about that this week?
I wish I did. I wish I did. It's really hard because we don't know how the bonus content is going to be released. They could take all of these arcs and edit them into one like standalone 2-hour release. Who knows how they're going to do it? I don't think they're going to do it that way. I think what we'll see is anywhere from 2 to 4 distinct separate story arcs edited together to flow as one story. And they'll, you know, stand alone as those 2 to 4 different chapters of the Clone Wars. Essentially, what we'll be seeing is a majority of season 6 being released in mystery format. See, there's that gray area. You don't know how they're going to launch this out there. My biggest fear is that they're going to be putting them together in like 5 to 10 minute long segments and just launching them on StarWars.com.
Oh, that'd be murder.
I don't want to see it that way.
Murder.
Fans want to see it that way. I think if anything, we'd prefer a disc release, a DVD Blu-ray release of these arcs,
or iTunes, or something like that, or Netflix. You know what's really fascinating, and I thought about this in the context of the Clone Wars. Now we know that this is not going to happen, but there was a piece on NPR about these shows that are coming back. Now everybody knows, or those of you who are fans of Arrested Development, brilliant comedy show that's been gone for like 7 years, but there's a new season coming up on Netflix. It's an exclusive to Netflix. Amazon and their sort of Netflix clone, their streaming service, they had a number of pilots that folks could jump on, like real TV show pilots that folks could jump on, watch, and then rate and vote as to which would get picked up.
Xbox just announced their new version of the Xbox, Xbox One, that's going to have on its streaming service a live-action TV series based on the Halo games, executive produced by Steven Spielberg. There's rumors that 24 is coming back to Fox. And some of these efforts have been spurred by Kickstarter and other, you know, startups. And throwing it out there that there's certainly no shortage of distribution channels for this kind of thing. So could Clone Wars bonus content be showing up on Netflix? Could it be showing up on Amazon or iTunes? Or maybe an app. Disney, yeah. Let me tell you, as the father of a four-year-old girl.
Here we go
again. That has every app on the iPad that's available for four-year-old Disney princess fans. I got to say, I mean, it's amazing. I get an email every week about a new Disney princess app that's available. And there's some really, really great stuff happening there on the interactive side of Disney. So who knows, Jim? Maybe it could be an app for your phone that gets the content right there to you. But I'm with you. I would much rather plunk down some cash. Yep. And see this as, you know, 22-minute episodes or whatever, rather than that, you know, that micro-series stuff where you're watching 3-5 minutes at a time.
No, please don't do that.
No.
God, I beg you, if anyone is listening there who can make a decision on this, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Save the Clone Wars! That leads us to a Facebook message. This is our final Facebook message of this week's show. This comes from loyal RFR listener Augusto Luna. And Augusto says, pedio de la publico, señores encargados de hacer las otras temporadas de la Clone Wars preparen ese material.
That's horrible. I took 4 years. 4 años de español en colegio.
Oh, okay. You can say that so smoothly. Why don't you just read this Facebook message here?
Pedido del publico, señores encargados. Hold on. Where's Denise Vasquez? Señores encargados de hacer las otras temporadas de clones. I think it would be just clones. I don't think it would say clones. Clones, wars, preparen ese material. That's not too bad.
Well, so, okay. It's been a while since college and I took Spanish. So I found this great website, SpanishDict.com. That's D-I-C-T.
It's a terrible
Spanish
thing to call him.
Dict.com.
Oh, Dicta. Okay, yes, I thought you said something else.
Mm-hmm. And
don't say that about Acusto.
So what's great is that you can type in the phrase or sentence, the Spanish saying, what have you, and it will translate it for you. But better than just translating the words, it gives you translation from a human voice. You get an MP3 saying what the sentence reads. So here it is. Save the Clone Wars, Spanish to English translation from Augusto Luna, courtesy of SpanishDict.com.
At the request of the public, gentlemen responsible for the other seasons of the Clone Wars prepare this material.
Yes. See.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Augusto, and thank you, SpanishDict.com.
Let's hear that one more time.
Cue it up. Cue the clip.
At the request of the public, gentlemen responsible for the other seasons of the Clone Wars prepare this material.
I don't even know what that means. What's he talking about? I don't know. What just happened? Oh, my goodness. We didn't even get to all of it. There's so much stuff to talk about. Good thing this is a weekly show. We got lots of stuff. So, what? You said, you know what he's saying?
Well, yeah. Just
at the request of the public.
Whatever you got, put it out there.
Ah. Oh, okay. Ese material.
You got Clone Wars in the can?
Clones Wars. Preparen ese material. Spanish dict. That's what they're going to call me. Guy with that bad accent. All right. Well, thank you very much to our good buddy Grant Gould and the folks at We Love Fine for the Dark Side Design Contest and our big winner, the RFR Judges Pick, Corey Freeman. Congratulations to Corey. $400 richer. And Jim, are the shirts available yet? The winning shirts? Are they? Do we know?
Well, if they are, we'll put up a link to how you could buy them on our Facebook page.
There you go.
Make an announcement next week for sure.
Right. So keep your eyes peeled there at facebook.com/RebelForceRadio eventually. Make sure that if you're in the greater Chicago area, you can listen each and every week on our terrestrial radio outlet, WCKG. That's 1530 a.m. Sundays at 4 p.m. Central. You can also download the WCKG app on your phone or listen to the live stream on the desktop at www.1530wckg.com. Play along with us in between shows. Send us an email, show@rebelforceradio.com. That's show@rebelforceradio.com. Voicemail line, if you wish to leave us, said 708-320-1737, 708-320-1RFR. We are on the Twitter at Rebel Force Radio. Also, our personal accounts there at Jimmy Mac Radio, at Jason Swank. And if you are new to the show last week, at Steve Glosson. We'll throw that in there, too. Facebook, like we said, facebook.com/Rebel Force Radio. Great place to engage with fellow Star Wars fans. And it is a safe place to geek out and have a good time and talk about the wars. iTunes, we are there on iTunes as part of the selection of podcasts. Just search for Rebel Force Radio, and you can check out Rebel Force Radio as well as Clone Wars Declassified. They're all there on iTunes. Please leave us a review. That would be very, very helpful. Just one rule.
Make it good.
Stitcher, that is Jimmy Mac's favorite app for catching podcasts on his iPhone. It's available for iOS and Android devices. You can download it free. Go to Stitcher.com for all the details and our official website at RebelForceRadio.com. Don't forget, we are part of the ShotGlass Digital Network. A bunch of great podcasts over there. ShotGlassDigital.com, like Rebel Force Radio, Clone Wars Declassified, Bondcast, Snide Remarks Radio, ADH Divas, Black Hawk Talk, and more programming coming soon. That's going to do it for us this week here on Rebel Force Radio. Love you guys so much. For Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy Mac.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
The next Star Wars, nothing but Lando and beautiful ladies making love, sweet love, in the galaxy.